Welcome to another Dynasty Headquarter podcast. I'm your host, Michael Sipes. No, I'm not. Michael Sipes was kicked off the show.
Nice.
Welcome to episode 31 of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast. I'm with my partner, Jeremy Broen. Jeremy, say hi.
Hi, Shane. I'm Jeremy Broen. You can find me at DFF underscore madman.
Also, we got our buddy, Michael Sipes. Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Michael. Okay, Michael.
Hey, Mike.
Mike couldn't be on the show today because he was doing some cosplay. So right now, I think he's dressed up like a he's dressed up like a Star Trek Galactic Warrior chick. So if you see him, give him a dollar or something.
Oh, he looks like a homeless guy?
Yeah.
Weird, man.
So we got episode 31. Unfortunately, there's not a lot going on in the world. We got the Scott Fish Bowl, which some of us have already wrapped up. Some of us are wrapping up. I think I've got one round left, and then I'm finished. How far along are you in your Scott Fish Bowl draft?
Well, let's see. I'm going to look right now because I just saw that I'm on the clock. I have 14 players, so I guess this would be my 15th pick, 15th round. And, yeah, so we've got a ways to go yet. What, 20 roster spots, or is it 22?
According to the draft board, there are – la, la, la. I'm past 20, so I know that. 22 rounds.
Yeah, man. So we've got seven more to go after this one. So, wow.
Well, I'm actually finished. My last pick was Mason Rudolph. I went with the quarterback because if Big Ben goes down, Mason Rudolph would have A.B., Juju Smith-Schuster, James Washington, Lev Bell, and So I'm not rooting for Big Ben to get injured because you should never root for injury, even against a scumbag rapist like him. But, I've heard, allegedly. Yeah, so I'm all finished, apparently. The Buster Bluth division is finished. We actually...
Good for you, my man.
Yeah, we actually started a DM thread. We stole that off. Some other division did that, and it's fun. We've been in there chatting a little bit here and there. Not a lot, not too much. I haven't had to mute it yet. That's always good. But yeah, But, you know, that's part of Scott's goal, too, is to make sure that we all get to know each other. I think I followed a couple people that I wasn't following previously. Or if I followed them and they didn't follow me back, I unfollowed them because screw that. I'm gonna put myself out there like that.
Right?
No. So it's in the news. We got the Shady McCoy situation. It's a player I don't think many people were buying in Dynasty anyway, due to the fact that he's 30 years old and he's got a lot of tread on the tires, as they say. No, wear on the tires. If you got a lot of tread, you're good because a deep tread. So with Shady looking like he could miss some significant time and or go to prison, how do you feel about Chris Ivory?
I don't know what to say about Chris Ivory, man. How do you feel about Chris Ivory? He's the next guy up, right?
He is the next guy up. I'm not sure if Mike Tolbert's still there. He might be, but I don't think he counts.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
And I haven't looked at the depth chart, but the next guy up we're all assuming right now is Chris Ivory. And I just checked his ADP out on the fantasyfootballcalculator.com there. He is currently going off the board at 227. So that's that's about as far down in the draft as you can get. That's the part of the draft where players are coming up in alphabetical order. Like, you know, and if you sort it by position on MFL and you get a running back, you're getting whoever starts with the letter A. That's a part of that draft it is. So I was looking at a couple of his stats. His last useful season came in 2015. He was actually the RB16, put up over 1,300 yards altogether, or actually just shy of 1,300 yards on 240 attempts. He had 30 receptions, scored 8 touchdowns, was the RB16 on an average output on a weekly basis. 247 attempts that year. Since that time, 2016 to 2017, he's got 229 carries total. So he signed with Jacksonville after that RB16 season, and then they weren't too happy with him. They had drafted Leonard Fournette, So he left. He left, and now he's in Buffalo, and now he could be their starting running back on a trash offense with a trash quarterback, a bad line. And I guess under the theory that you should own all starting running backs, I guess you could pick him up. The cost is nothing. So go ahead and shoot a fourth round.
Very low cost. So that's your advice? Throw a fourth rounder at him?
I guess. I mean, I'm also willing to trade Shady straight up for Kevin White at this point.
Yeah, if there's any truth to this story, and I hate to point fingers or jump on the pile on like people like to do, especially with LeSean McCoy's good stuff he's provided to us over the years in fantasy. I don't want to pile on the guy, but if there's any truth to having his ex-girlfriend beaten up to get his stuff back, I mean, that's a convenient story. It sounds, it sounds like something you'd see on the old, 60 Minutes or something, right? It's just like dead spins all over it. So if he did that, he's out of the league and we don't ever have to worry about him again. So yeah, I think maybe kind of padding your roster with anybody behind him is a good idea. Yeah, so if he really lashed out at Casey Kasem like that, I mean, that was probably a bad idea. She spilled the beans on that right away on Twitter. Yeah, and I mean, she told everybody, "Hey, I'm at this fantasy football convention. I guess it's the one in Dallas, and she's a Dallas Cowboys fan. She loves that team, and so explain what apparently." And I'm sure she's telling the truth. I have no reason not to believe her. Tell the story. What happened? What did Zeke do to her? And what was the context?
I think from what I saw on Twitter, and Twitter's limited characters, and I wasn't there. We'll put that caveat out there. But I believe Casey.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. So basically, I guess he was at a bar, probably getting ready to punch someone in the face, like he's want to do. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Or pull down a girl's shirt.
He might have been.
It's Deke. So probably one of those two things. And I guess Casey was going to just go over to him and be like, "Hey, man, I'm a big fan." And, whatever you would say to a football player that you see that you like.
Sure.
And his posse, his team, his entourage, his handlers, whatever, just kind of started.
Entourage.
Yeah, just started kind of yelling at her, like, "Hey, get the fuck away from Zeke." Like, come on. Casey's what, 5'2"? Like, what is she going to go over there and beat him up? Like, I don't know. So I just felt bad for her.
Yeah, it's interesting that he would do that, knowing that it's a fan. And in this context, he is at an event, no matter where it's at. He's there because of the fantasy football thing. I mean, he's there. He knows there's fans there. He has fans all over. Why would you be rude to a fan? Like, it's not like she went up and tried to get his autograph even, right? Didn't she just say something to him, made a comment in passing, and he was a total asshole?
Yeah, something to the effect. Like, I think she was just going to go up to him and be like, "Hey, man, I really appreciate everything you do as a player," or something to that effect.
And I can't imagine, Shane, what it's like to be somebody, a celebrity that gets bothered all the time. But there are a lot of cool people out there who are celebrities who get this treatment and voluntarily fill out autographs for kids and people, just their fans, and are great about it. So I don't feel sorry for them. And the thing that makes me laugh is that all these big, tough guys, professional football players and athletes have an entourage. Like, what happened to "I'm an adult male and I can handle my own business"? I mean, you're Ezekiel Elliott, a running back in the NFL. Do you really need a bunch of bodyguards? Is it what, to protect you from your fans?
I will say this.
That's lame, man.
I know you do need to keep people around you because, there are people that out there that will try to provoke you into a fight so they can get paid or something to that. You know what I mean? Like, just walk up to you and just start saying a bunch of shit so you'll punch them in the face, like Zeke has done in the past. So in his case, it's probably a good idea that he has people around to control him. But yeah, I never feel bad for celebrities that get pissy when people interrupt them. You know what? You're rich because of your fans. It's that simple. If your fans didn't pay to come to the stadiums to see your movies, listen to your music, etc., follow you on Instagram, whatever your celebrity might be, you wouldn't be famous. You'd be working construction or as a teacher or something like that. And, I've seen people throw out like, "Oh, well, how would you like it if people came to your job and started cheering you or wanted to talk to you?" I'd be pretty cool with that. Like, I have a pretty boring daytime gig, and it'd be pretty awesome if someone came up to me and was like, "Damn, Shane, like, you're the best director of housing that I've ever seen." I'd be like, "Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah, I'd take that.
I'll take it. Yeah, I'll sign your TPS report, no doubt." So I don't ever want to hear that bullshit. we invade their privacy. You know what? You're rich. There's trade-offs you make. I'd rather have no privacy and be a millionaire than my current situation. So suck it.
There are plenty of places to go to get your privacy. But the reason we're bringing this up, and there are so many jokes we can make right now. I realize Zeke's kind of a self-made man, like what, Kylie Jenner? You know, even more maybe because, you know, he's a football player. He's done that. But enjoy your 15 minutes. You're a running back. First of all, your career isn't going to be very long. You should probably appreciate that people want to meet you right now because someday they're not going to give a shit about you. But even bigger than that is just there are places you can go where no one will bother you. Why are you at a bar at this place with a bunch of, you know, in the public eye anyway? So yeah. Don't feel sorry for him. But the reason we bring this up, or I'm assuming the reason you brought it up just because it's fun to talk about. No, I mean, dynasty football implications, right? We're not Deadspin, but down the line, this could have implications, right, for our fantasy teams. He's already got a track record for, like, bad decisions and or bad situations he's put himself in. This is a top shelf, maybe, what, top three drafted dynasty running back? Top five, inarguably, drafted dynasty running back. And he was hired before the stupid stuff went down to begin with. But, you know, this impacts or will have a big effect on a lot of teams if something comes of his behavior in the future. And this speaks to what you did say a long time ago. You don't trust the guy. You kind of wonder about his behavior. I was more like, he's stupid kid. You know, he's young. You know, I'm not worried about what he does. This isn't going to get him in trouble. But, you know, pulling up girls' shirts and all these other stupid things can't. So, you know, it might be a factor someday.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's move on to something else. Let's talk about something happier.
Real quick, I just noticed because I'm digging around on the Buffalo Bills, see what I can find. And apparently they're bringing in Brandon Oliver, who's a player I really liked going back. Obviously, before Melvin Gordon was brought there, he had a nice run.
San Diego,
he had a nice run for a few games and then I think he broke his leg or tore his knee up. And then, you know, he's just been in a backup role since then. He's a little guy, but he played well, man. He was a player that I really enjoyed. So he's another guy. If he does join that roster, I'll go ahead and add him for my waivers. Cause again, that's a free for the cost of free. I like him.
Oh, absolutely.
We have happy news.
Yeah. Well, I just meant, you know, a more positive or optimistic topic than, you know, Zeke Elliott's behavior. I'm sure we have something.
I'm a little saddened, but we kind of knew this was coming. Oh, Darren Sproles has announced that 2018 will now be his final season. That was originally his plan with 2017, but of course he broke his leg and arm on one play last year against the Giants, and that's not how he wanted to retire. So I just
I don't blame.
Yeah, you know, I was just looking around at Sproles, and he's had some really good years. For a long time, especially if your league counts special teams points, he's been a stud. But even going back just to 2016, he was actually the RB35.
Yeah, it's incredible because he's 35 now. So at 5'6", 190 pounds, and at that age, he's already broken so many stereotypes about small backs, and he broke the age threshold like crazy. And all those all-purpose yards, I mean, what a trooper, man. What a beast.
Actually, in line, I believe he needs a little more than 500 yards to jump into the top five and pass Tim Brown on the all-time all-purpose yardage list, which is incredible. Like you said, he's top 10.
He's incredible.
Tiny little guy, but he's built like a literal brick shithouse because he is, like you said, 5'6", 190, and he is just a solid little ball of muscle. But I thought it was interesting looking at his RB35 finish in 2016. He scored double-digit points 9 out of 16 games and had 8 weeks as an RB2 or better. So if you were one of those RB0 proponents, he was probably a guy that you could have used on a weekly basis and got something out of him. Obviously not as your RB1, likely probably not even as your RB2, but if you wanted to, you could have slid him in there for half the season. I went back and looked at his ADP on MFL that year. It was 1709. So he was going off the board in the 17th round, the end of the 17th round for an RB36 finish.
Wow, damn.
So that just brought to mind, if they're looking at that ADP, I was just wondering if there's any players that you're particularly fond of that are that low in ADP that you think you could wind up sliding in there for, you know, maybe not every week, but definitely a week here and there to help you win. I got a couple guys I like. James White is a guy that I seem to always own on every roster. Javaris Allen is another guy. Obviously, it's a little hit or miss with them. You might not know when that production is going to come a lot of times, but you can usually, guys like that, you can usually count on them getting 3 to 4 receptions a game, give you at least a nice little floor, though it might be 6-7 points. But if they have a good yeah. week, you know, you could be looking at 15-16 points from a guy that basically you don't even have to draft a lot of times unless it's a deep draft. Drafting players outside of the 170, and that likely sure. will be on the waivers at some point. So two of my favorites for some reason.
Jordan Wilkins too, man, for Indianapolis. A lot of owners are high on him and his prospects. Matt Breida, Giovanni Bernard. I mean, a lot of things that a lot of guys that could be flex players or certainly pitch in a week. I mean, if Joe Mixon goes down, there's not much behind him in Cincinnati. That's my favorite topic right now, to talk about the Cincinnati running back issues and you know, just the Cincinnati running back situation. Matt Breida in San Francisco, nobody really knows how everything's going to shake out. Expects to be no worse than the backup, right, to McKinnon at this point. I see nothing to lose on guys at that level, like you're saying. When you can get Giovanni Bernard, Matt Breida, and Jordan Wilkins and in that range, I mean, what's not to like about that? That, like you said, the, where they're going, that point, I mean, it's just so low. The money is so low. The price is so low. It's crazy.
Yeah, Gio's a player that I really do like a lot. I've liked him for a few years, especially when Jeremy Hill was there. It seemed like you knew what his role was going to be. There was really no confusion. Now he's a player that I still think is going to have a decent role, and I still think he can be at least a flex player. Like I said, if you're a zero RB proponent, he's a guy that you definitely can throw in your roster on a weekly basis, even though, you know, I do expect Joe Mixon to have a much better season than he did last year. I still expect Gio to be involved in the game plan, and he's another guy that there's no reason that he can't get 3 to 4 receptions a week, a couple carries here and there, 10 carries or so, and just really for where he's going in drafts, he's definitely a value. Last year, he had a couple games where he played a mix and didn't, and they let him be the, I guess, lack of a better term, bell cow. He had 12.5 rushing attempts. He had 6.5 receptions, and he averaged 16.15 points a game. Over a full year, you're looking at 258 points. Obviously, that's not what you're going to be looking at with Joe Mixon in there. But even with Mixon in there for most of the year, Gio was still averaged 8.5 points a game, which, again, that's great for the draft capital. He's a guy that I've been trying to get, as well as Joe Mixon, unsuccessfully, unfortunately, on the Mixon side. But Gio's another guy that I love buying. And he could be gone after next year and find even a bigger role somewhere.
Yeah, no, Bernard's a favorite of mine. I mean, he's consistently good. I don't think they give him enough carries in Cincinnati. I don't think they ever have, really, but they certainly haven't last year. You know, trying to get Mixon into the mix in some Mixon. That threw things off. But, you know, 9 yards per reception or over 9 yards per reception. And that guy is going to help any offense. He can run inside too. I love him as a player, and he's right now in the SFB8. I mean, his price is low in that. If Mixon gets hurt, there's really nobody that's going to put a dent in anything. And if Mixon struggles, Bernard is not going to. So I think that's just a high end backup player, and you know, you can get him for a song. So you absolutely get him. What do you think about the other guys in that range that we were just talking about? The Indiana back, Indianapolis back.
Yeah, I'm passing on Jordan Wilkins, but I am buying another rookie back all over the place, and it happens to be the Cincinnati back, Mark Walton. Basically for the same reason. If Mixon were to go down, or if Gio were to go down, he's definitely got a role. He's a guy that I think, obviously, that this year he'll probably be playing a lot on special teams. I don't know how much he'll actually see the field on the offense. I'm sure they'll mix him in a little bit, kind of like they did with, I believe it's Brian Leonard, or I believe that's the guy's name, and Rex Burkhead before that. So I'm buying on Mark Walton. Jordan Wilkins isn't a guy I know a lot about. I was at the mercy of other people, and it's just the community's mixed enough that I don't feel like he's a buy for me. First of all, there's the fact that he's a late round draft pick in the NFL draft. And historically, those guys don't do much. They might give you a week here and there. Right. They might. So if he's a guy that I could see adding to the bottom of my roster in case Marlon Mack doesn't work out, who is, again, another late round draft pick. But Jordan Wilkins, I mean, he's already 24 years old, which is, I guess he failed a lot, and maybe he failed K kindergarten? They held a badge.
No, man, it could just be, maybe it was in the military. I don't really want to say, but I mean, you know, that can be bad. I know our own Christopher Bean likes to talk about age, and we see it a lot. Who knows? I mean, as a running back, and if he doesn't have a lot of, like you said, tread off the tires, if he doesn't have a lot of wear and tear, he might be fine. But again, there are too many factors working against him to get excited about. I mean, Mack and Hines are enough. I don't really know how much they're gonna need Wilkins. If the situation were different, I might get more excited about him. But with Hines and Mack, I don't really get excited about Wilkins. I hope he does well. I don't wish him bad or anything, but I'm with you. I've tempered my expectations.
I'm on Player Profile, right? PlayerProfiler.com right now. And I don't know if he took any agility tests, but his agility score is nothing. He has no agility score. That's a...
I'm sure he did.
Because that'd be bad. Like, if you have no agility, you can't walk at all, can you? No, but...
Yeah, I'd have a greater chance of making that roster than Wilkins if he has zero.
So, I do like Nyheim Hines. He's a converted wide receiver. He did play wide receiver at, I believe it was, North Carolina? Yeah, North Carolina State, actually. So he's a converted receiver. So obviously he'll be a receiving threat. And it won't be just on dump offs and screens and things like that. Like he was a wide receiver. You can line him up on the outside if you need to in the slot, whatever. He can run more of a route tree than most running backs in the league. If he can run even a little bit, that'll boost his cause. And I own Mac here and there. I never went full in on him. He's a guy that, it's hard to know if it was the Indianapolis Colts line, which was awful last year, or if it was him. He had a ton of tackle behind the line of scrimmage plays, and he couldn't take the job from Frank Gore. So definitely, if I own Mac, I think I'd be looking to hedge my bets with Hines. And
yeah, we just don't know how good Mac is. I like him a lot. He was only a rookie last year. They don't all take off. It's easier for running backs most of the time, but they don't all take off on their first try. I still think he has a chance, but who knows? I mean, that's a murky situation there, and I just don't get excited about Wilkins. I'd certainly take Giovanni Bernard well before Wilkins and anyone else in that range that we were talking about, just because he's been there, done that. No, he's consistent.
Yeah, you know, Mac, though, it's funny. I keep thinking of him as a little guy, but he's really not. I mean, he's 5'11", 213, which is, size. And his best comp on Player Profile is actually Marshawn Lynch. He's another guy. He must not have taken the agility tests at the combine because he's got a nothing.
Yeah, Mac, I like a lot. He's actually, that's an ideal size. The, right around 6 foot or under, not over, but. You know, six and under, and that just over 200 range. I mean, I swear that's all Shanahan wants on his offenses. If you look at the running backs outside of Breida in San Francisco, they're all kind of like that, you know, 5'9 to 5'11, 210 to 220. You know what I mean? Like, that's the prototype he wants. So there's a lot to like about the size.
Yeah, you know what? The more I'm looking at him on the on Player Profile, I'm just looking at some of his efficiency numbers, and he was actually really good. He was 24th in breakaway runs. He had 7, which is pretty impressive when you consider that, again, he wasn't a full-time starter. He obviously didn't get full-time starter carries. He had a breakaway run rate of 7.5%, which was actually second in the league. Evaded 32 tackles, which was good for 38th, and 14th in juke rate. So, I mean, those are all actually indicators that maybe I should be buying on Marlon Mack.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I don't know which back is going to get the lead role. Tend to think, you know, if you're a betting man, that you'd go for Marlon Mack as the lead dog, and Hines, especially this year, mix it in there somehow, but, you know, mixing in the run game. But the thing is, that's thinking about those two guys and that offense. It's kind of exciting. I mean, in Dynasty, not knowing is a nuisance, but both of those guys, I mean, if they both become valuable, that's going to be cool. I have no idea.
One concern is they do have the offensive coordinator from the world champion, Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles as their head coach now, Frank Reich. And he was Frank Reich, offensive coordinator.
You lost me at the world champion. I think you broke up when you were saying the world champion. Well, let's just skip that part. So anyways, Frank Reich.
Super Bowl champions. And last year showed how effective a full-blown running back by committee could be. And I kind of see Wilkins as the power straight ahead back. He comps to Mike Gillisley. And that's kind of his deal, is he's really good at running forward, which, you know, that's a needed task. It's good to be able to just have a grinder. And I think that's Wilkins. Then you have Hines, who can be more of a third down threat, some carries here and there. And you could liken him to maybe a Darren Sproles, obviously not as good because Darren Sproles is a Hall of Fame player. And then Marlon Mack, I guess he'd be comparable to the Eagles version of Jay Ajayi, maybe. I don't know, except a better receiver.
Yeah.
I, honestly, in a perfect world, I guess I would think that's what Reich would want to do, because you just want to, especially in today's NFL, with the committees, you want guys that can do certain things, specific things, and just keep rolling them out there with fresh legs and kind of just throwing fastballs at the defense.
Scott Fishbowl 8 alert. Oh. Scott Fishbowl 8 alert. Oh. SFB 8 alert. Madman's on the clock. You got to help me make my pick. We're going to a new segment, Shane. Scott Fishbowl 8, you help me make my 15th round pick here. 15-10. I'm on the clock. So let's first go over my roster. I'm gonna have you help me make my pick.
Oh, shit.
You're good at this. Let's just.
I'm just nervous. It's a lot of pressure. 15th round. I mean, it should be known that I was one of the guys that took DeMarco Murray and was feeling pretty. Who we didn't even talk about. We could work our way back to him. But I took DeMarco Murray and I was feeling good about myself.
I'm disappointed that he retired, to be honest. I have him in a lot of places. And I, you know, it's basically free if he does anything this year, right? And now whatever investment you made is a loss.
Right after the season, he definitely wasn't on a roster. I'm pretty sure I traded a late second for him. And I am absolutely kicking myself in the balls over that one. All right, so who we got? Yeah.
A late second. So let's go over my roster. Right? And no judgments, just my quarterbacks are Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott. That's okay. And then Joe Flacco. And then my running backs are Leonard Fournette, Jordan Howard, Carlos Hyde, and Duke Johnson. So I definitely could use another running back. My wide receivers are Marvin Jones, Devin Funchess, Sterling Shepard.
So you went with Josh Dotson. Wide receiver approach.
I absolutely did, yes. Yep. Tight ends are...
That's not bad.
Well, I have Travis Kelce. Yeah. Awesome. I have Evan Ingram and Austin Seferian-Jenkins.
I love that. Those tight ends are... Oh, yeah. I'll roll all three of them out there probably on a weekly basis, especially looking at your wide receiver situation. Again, who's on the board? Who can we take here?
So on the board... We have, this is the top of the board. Christian Kirk, Cortland Sutton, you know, Hunter Henry's hurt. Michael Gallup, Dante Pettis, James Washington, Cameron Meredith. It's, you know, these are all guys that are sort of reaches, I guess, at this point. Chris Carson.
I like that Dante Pettis. I don't know why I said it. Yeah, that's the only thing I've tried to stay away from rookies outside of the running backs in this. But if I was going to gamble on a rookie, it's a guy like Dante Pettis. Although Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't much of a deep thrower last year. Godwin, whatever that guy's name is, Marquise Goodwin.
We got Goodwin out there and Godwin down in Tampa. No, Goodwin, he threw to him just fine. I'm not worried about that.
It's the Scott Fishbowl. You got to take risks. You got to take risks. You got to take shots. Where's John Ross?
Yeah, running backs, we got Chris Carson, Kenneth Dixon, Edmonds, Peyton Barber, Jalen Samuels, Dixon. Which I wouldn't mind getting later.
I want the Kenneth Dixon.
Yeah, TJ Yeldon, and then, you know, a bunch of bodies after that. Wide receiver,
I'm good with
Dixon. What did you say?
Yeah,
John Ross is
okay.
There,
so here's my thoughts on these three players. I like Kenneth Dixon, John Ross, and the other running back. Not Chris Carson. No. The other guy that's in a situation where he just needs someone to go down. All right. Well, I can't remember. So Kenneth Dixon, because, Alex Collins had a good year last year. I don't want to take anything away from him. But the Ravens, from what's been coming out of Harbaugh's mouth, haven't really made it sound like they're definitely, enamored with him. And John Ross, I mean, the draft capital, and he's just got that speed to burn, that if they just – all it takes is – two receptions and the guy could put up, 80 yards and a touchdown for you. I say go for the shot.
Well, other than DeMarco Murray, give it a shot, man.
Shoot
That's who
your
you
shot.
Think? Other than DeMarco Murray and Jalen Samuels as dart throws, really, running backs. Peyton Barber.
Yeah, that's not good. I don't like Peyton Barber, Rojo, who I actually drafted as my first RB in this. is going to get every opportunity plus some to fail. And Peyton Barber is not going to see much work.
Yeah, that's how I look at it too. But there's really not a lot of bodies there at the running back
position. You got to go with Kenneth Dixon. The guy was really good in four games, 3 years ago or 2 years ago?
Right, 5 years ago. You think so? Yeah, I just don't know.
Look,
it's tough. Yeah, it's tough for me. Take John Ross here.
Either one. I mean, it's the 15th round, man. You should be shooting for upside right here.
I think John Ross, I saw him go in the 19th round in another draft, one of our buddies.
Yeah, I don't. I haven't looked at anyone's ADPs in the other drafts, these Scott Fish Bowls, because everyone's a different animal.
Oh, they're all different. Yeah, for sure. I agree with you there. It is different. I mean, it just depends on what position gets on a streak and who wants what players, and guys who like certain players to take off, they draft them rounds ahead. And this late, I don't know, man. So you're thinking Kenneth Dixon, and I'm maybe thinking John Ross. Yeah, tough call, man. I appreciate it. Kenneth Dixon has let me down.
I'll go for John Ross.
It's hard to pick him.
Just think, if AJ Green were to go down, John Ross would apparently be the number one wide receiver there.
Really?
Oh, that's a scary thought.
That's a great way to put it. It is a scary thought, my man.
All right. Well, you work that out in your head. We do have a couple Dynasty Crash trade offers.
Oh, my God. Those okay, never
so here's
stop.
One. I actually you sent out on the Twitters asking for some, that any of us three might have sent to any of our league mates. Because I just want to, I don't want to be the guy that throws stones living in a glass house. Right. So we got at Joe Ruckus 11. He says, this guy, we'll call him Shane M. That's me, for anyone that's wondering. I offered him A-Rob for the 1-3 and the 1-4. I was aiming high. I'm not going to lie. He countered really? Back with the 111 for A-Rob. This is a super flex. So apparently I went on our podcast and blasted him for that offer, which I still think is a bad offer, right? 111 for A-Rob? Whatever.
I don't think it's a trash.
Well, he drafted Rojo at 11. Offer. 6 weeks later, I offered him A-Rob for Ronald Jones and Kittle. Now, just a couple notes. It's a quarter point per carry, and it's 1.5 point PPR for tight ends. So
I see what you're saying. So you asked him for the 111, which is Rojo, and you attached to that. Wow. Okay.
So basically he offered me A-Rob straight up for 111. I turned it down, made fun of him on the podcast as I'm wont to do. And then I offered him the same trade 6 weeks later, but I wanted George Kittle. And he actually turned down the trade. He didn't accept it.
So you offered him A-Rob for the 1-3 and the 1-4.
Again, I was shooting high. I'm not going to lie to you. Yes. With the 111.
Yeah. And he countered. He said, hey, I'll give you the 111 for A-Rob. And you said, no, you blasted it. And he used the 111 to draft Ronald Jones. And then a few weeks later, you offered A-Rob to him again, but for Ronald Jones. And you attached to the 111, which was Ronald Jones, George Kittle. So you were still trying to kind of get the 1-3-1-4 feel, but you downed it to the 111 and Kittle, not just the 111. So you basically just countered 6 weeks later. It wasn't like you counted. You just countered
it
way later than normal.
A few months, whatever.
I get it.
And what's funny is you want to know the only reason I started making offers in some leagues for Ronald Jones is because I actually drafted him in the Scott Fish Bowl, and I wanted to own him in more than one league. Because I hate owning guys in just one league. So he thought that was a trashy, I guess just in general, is a trashy move by me all the way, which he's not.
Maybe he's just being a good sport because you blasted him on the show. And he's like, hey, man, it wasn't something you should blast.
Funny thing is,
I mean, it wasn't that bad.
We got no other bites. So apparently I don't send trash Dynasty trade offers out to people, and neither do you or Sipes. So we know what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm thinking that we've got that going for us. I think I have before, I'm sure of it, but I try not to, but I know I have. I'm glad nobody took the bait and threw one out from 2 years ago.
Well, I mean, some of the trades I make now, offers I make now, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not shooting my best offer out there. I'm shooting one that I hope you'll accept. I don't know that I think you'll accept it. Some of the offers I send out, I'm fairly certain that I believe they're even. I believe that if I, you know, the situation's reversed, I can talk myself into saying that I would accept that offer. But I do at least send offers out that I'm hoping will spark a conversation. And yeah, that's where I'm at right now. I'm actually waiting on a response now. Yeah, I offered a guy a trade, and he just sent back to me. He said, you know, maybe if you give me a better draft pick, we can make this trade happen. And I'm hoping I do. So I'm not going to jinx it, because that's how you jinx trades. You don't talk about them. No, but we also do have a Trash Dynasty trade offer that a buddy of ours, FFB Fireman, at FFB Fireman, sent us. So someone was offering Jamal Williams for DeAndre Hopkins. That's it. There's nothing else to that. Literally that.
That's insane. Somebody doesn't have a maybe that has to be a joke. We'll just move on.
I don't know, though, because there are people that make offers like that and they seem sincere. Like, wait, what? No, just if that's one of those trades that is definitely a trash trade offer. So I was excited to see that one. So our buddy, yeah, he actually sent us another one. And I actually got to disagree with him there. I think this one's actually a decent offer. He'd give up C.J. Anderson. He would get J.D. McKissick back, which is, you know, whatever. He's one of those guys that I might stash if I have the room. Well, you know, he could be the pass receiving back on the Seattle team, assuming C.J. Procise gets injured, which based off his history is a good assumption. And, you know, Rashad Penny can't carry the ball 40 times a game and get 10 receptions. So J.D. McKissick might have some role. Or might not, but frankly, he's not even the crux of this trade. The crux of this trade is the 2019 second round pick, which for C.J. Anderson, that's a decent trade offer, I think.
Yeah, I don't think this is a trash dynasty trade offer. I mean, I don't really like either side of it, but at any rate, I don't see this being awful. I mean, whatever. What do you need? C.J. Anderson's going to deliver this year, right? Who knows what McKissick does? And the 2019 second is a year away before we even know what that's going to be. So it's, you know, present for future. How the hell do I know? It's definitely not a trash, but yeah, I appreciate the other one he sent.
That is one of those ones that you send back, like that you do feel insulted. Like if you have the guy's number, you text them and you're just like, duff.
Well, hey, real quick, I wanted to tell you, I did get a Trash Dynasty trade offer. I don't always get them, you know, and sometimes I don't think they're worthy of being on the show, but I got one that was really hilarious to me. I'm in a Devy league. Well, I'm in several, but this is a Devy league. And this guy offers me, well, the newly retired Darren Sproles as one piece. Brandon LaFell. Sterling Shepard.
I guess.
Yeah, does Brandon LaFell still play football? I don't know. Yeah, Cincinnati. But Sterling Shepard's the only viable piece. So Darren Sproles, Brandon LaFell, and Sterling Shepard. He wants me to send back to him the Devy pick 110, another Devy pick, 111. Another Devy pick, the second round, sixth pick, you know, 206. Another Devy pick, the second round, 11th pick. And then on top of that, he wants my 2019 first round Devy pick. Now, he's obviously trying to get Devy picks, which in a league like this are valued, you know, higher than gold. I'll trade them. I trade these picks away all the time to get something that's, you know, good now. Maybe I'll trade one of these, you know, higher ones for Chris Godwin or something. You know, somebody who's in the league now, and I don't have to wait 2 years for the return. But Darren Sproles, Brandon LaFell, garbage in, and he's throwing Sterling Shepard at me, who's a second receiver on his team, for four high Devy picks. I mean, what the hell?
That's not a good offer. Although I am, and I don't know why, I'm actually buying Sterling Shepard where I can right now for some reason.
I know why. Dude, he's a deal now. He's a bargain now. That's why I drafted him in the Scott Fish Bowl. You know, there's only a few minor tweaks to that offense that have to happen for that guy to be a really good deliverer in fantasy points. He's been pretty good. You know, he's developed well. There's a lot to like. I mean, that team is relying on him this year, and he's a third-year guy, the third-year breakout. If he doesn't do it this year, we will know. If he doesn't do it this year, we will know what Sterling Shepard's made out of. But the second, maybe he's not the second target, Shane, right? Because they have Evan Ingram. They're going to be throwing to Barkley. They're going to be throwing to ODB, of course. Maybe he's the fourth guy. But in that offense, with Yeah, fourth target with Shurmur at the helm, and in the way they're going to mix that up. And I heard they're going to play him outside a little bit more than just in the slot. I think the guy is going to do better than last year. And where I picked him up just now, I think that's a dynasty buy, a guy that you're getting that low. What do you think?
Yeah, you can't expect much from him, though. I mean, if he gets 8 to 10 points a week, you're going to have to kind of be happy with that, with a couple boom weeks in there when they just, yeah.
Man, he's got to get some touchdowns this year, you know? What do you have, like three or four last year?
It's hard to see where the touchdowns are going to come, though. Like you said, he's the fourth option on that offense. But, you know, that could work to his favor again, because that offense is just going to be – it should be top three prolific as long as Eli Manning doesn't – you know, as long as he isn't washed, they should put up some numbers. But I don't know. I got to be honest with you. If he's throwing in a deal that I'm close on, I'm probably taking him. He's not, I don't think he's enough in my mind to make up if I feel there's a pretty large gap between players, though.
Yeah, you think he's a wide receiver?
Nah, I think he's outside of that.
Top 36 guy or not?
Maybe wide receiver 4 territory, probably closer to wide receiver 4 territory. And, you know, look, there's value in that. A lot of us play in leagues where we're starting 10 to 11 guys. So you definitely need someone in that role that's going to score some points.
Oh, man, I'll be honest with everybody. I would be happy to roll out a guy who's getting me 8 to 10 points, and I can bank on that every week. Just having somebody that's consistent and giving me maybe that double digit, especially, you know, say 9 points, maybe he's going to get 10 or 11 into the double digits. I would like that in my rotation of wide receivers because I have a lot of guys that are more boom or bust, I guess. And anytime I can get somebody that's more, you know, has a more straight line than trending up and down so much. I like that because it gives me some confidence, right? But anyway.
All right. Let's go ahead and tell you about GT Bets. Boom, boom, boom. GT Bets. All right. Just wanted to do some business real quick. This podcast is brought to you by GT Bets, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast. If you're looking to get on some action today, head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs with updated odds covering all major sports. If you go ahead and register now, you can earn up to $500 in free money. Just go on their site and simply add Trades HQ in the referred by field to get the highest possible welcome bonus. Actually, put some money on the World Cup today. And I took.
Oh, you did.
I would have done better. I took France, but I took the under, which was 2.5 goals. And it was 6 goals scored total. So that didn't work out for me. But at least I did pick France. So I came out a little ahead.
Yeah, good for you. Not a big gambler like that. I'm in a lot of leagues, and some of them are more expensive than others, especially that newly minted contracts league we did, the salary cap league with the auction draft. And, you know, I find that that's all the money I want to tie up. I generally don't do the weekly stuff. But if I did, GT Bets is a good source for gambling needs. And isn't it legal now in like all 50 states? I don't keep up on it, but I did see some changes, right? So DFS and poker guys are all excited.
You can gamble everywhere. What's the skinny on that, you know? Pretty much. I think you can go to a library and gamble. So that's pretty good.
Nice. Dude, it's like prohibition. I mean, you can't stop people from doing those kinds of things that they like. If it's not hurting anybody, I mean, let's get real. Some of these guys probably are hurting themselves. But I'm saying if they're not hurting anyone else, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. For us, it's fantasy football. For them, it's all day long, daily fantasy sports or poker. And I'm just kidding. It's not all day long. But, you know, different strokes for different folks, right? They like it. Maybe I don't. But, you know, I like to gamble money on fantasy football. And, you know, and not in, you know, giant dollar amounts, but more power to you if you want to do it. Some of these guys make a living on this. So, you know, all that's right. Not me.
FFPC.
Good for those guys.
The fastest growing Dynasty Football PC website, that's us, Dynasty Football Factory, has joined forces with the biggest high stakes fantasy football platform on the planet, the FFPC. DFF is proud to offer these exciting and new Dynasty high stake leagues in an exclusive partnership with the FFPC. Leagues start at just $77, but the sky is the limit. Take your game to the next level. Think you have what it takes? Then raise the stakes. Go to dynastyfootballfactory.com and click the logo for FFPC and sign up today.
Let's tell everybody about the Scouting Academy, too. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum. a chance to learn from NFL executives, coaches, and over 350 years of NFL experience cumulatively. 14 Lombardi trophies between them. They're here to teach you. Scout NFL football like a pro and join the Academy, the Scouting Academy. If you sign up today, get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount. Save $50 when you sign up now. Look for the Scouting Academy logo on our website and save yourself some money and get educated.
Education is fundamental.
Shane and I want to let everybody know about something we're really excited about. Shane, Mike, and I are really excited about. And that's our new Dynasty Trades HQ podcast Patreon account. That's right. You can become a patron of the HQ. You know, this is an exciting opportunity for us to do some really cool things like give out t-shirts, give out hats. This is a chance for everybody who likes this show to tune in and listen to an alternative show, in a manner of speaking, where we curse and Shane, we let Shane off the leash, right? Who let the dogs out? We let Shane off the leash. This is not PG.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Shane, definitely looking forward to doing another show. We can tailor it and get a little more in depth. Maybe I was thinking actually for specific fans, but that's a whole other thing. But, you know, we'll be learning as we go. It'll be a second show, so you won't be stuck with just one time of hearing me a week. You get to be able to hear us twice a week. We'll just be dropping knowledge bombs on you, truth bombs, twice a week. There's some other tiers there. You could buy a t-shirt, a hat. You can get and just send us a dollar a month or whatever, money here and there, just because you think we're nice guys, or at least, you know, we're guys.
We're guys, yeah. You know us. You're our friends, maybe. I don't know. Lots of things. You can reach out to us and we can consult for you during the whole season, the whole year.
Yeah, that's the tier I hope gets the most, because like I love talking specific stuff with guys, specific teams and trades and things like that. So I'm kind of hoping that tier fills up, and we can go ahead and consult one-on-one with you. Looking like either email, DM, text, phone. I don't like talking, but we could do that if we have to.
Hey, man, we'll basically be on call, and there's an opportunity to get on our show and ask a live question during the taping of the podcast. And this Dynasty Trades HQ sort of after dark feel we're going for, the after hours, non-PG, to sort of let us off the leash and just do what we do, not safe for work, unfiltered, unrelenting craziness. We're bringing that really soon. I think a lot of people are going to like that. So anyways, hit up Patreon, you know, look into the tiers. Let us know what you think. Become a patron of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast.
We'll like you better than the people that aren't patrons.
Get some swag from us as well.
I'm not going to lie to you.
I mean, I guess that could be true.
No. It's true. It's damn true.
We could set up a tier, Shane, where people fly us in and we drink a beer with them at their favorite pub. Just kidding.
No.
Well, another thing that you and I were talking about that we could do, we're going to offer to our patrons the chance to find out who we're buying and selling in our leagues, who's trending for us, who we're trying to ditch from our rosters, who we're trying to get on our rosters, things that we don't always dig deeply into on our regular show. You'll be able to get that information exclusively as a patron. The other thing we wanted to talk about, and Shane, I think you need to introduce this, because while we talked about this way back when we first kicked off this podcast, was really your baby. You wanted to
get our listeners
in the league with us.
Listener league. So Mike, Jeremy, and myself aren't going to share a team because I don't like to share and I don't play nice with others. So we're each going to get a team in this league. Then we're going to get 13 other people.
That's true.
What we're going to need you to do is get an email us to the Dynasty Trades HQ pod at gmail.com. You're going to include your full name, your Twitter handle, and a brief bio of your Dynasty League experience. Most important thing is we need to know why you even want to be in a league with us. Tell us why. Why do you want to be in a league with us? Is it just to kick my ass because my voice annoys you? That's a legitimate reason. I could understand that. Exactly. It will be super flex because that's better than everything else. I do.
Well, do you ever do you play in any standard leagues?
I play in more than a few.
Do you know how that works? I mean,
and I'll tell you what, I do like them to break up the monotony of my super flex.
Okay.
I do like a little change of pace here and there. I think the price point we talked about was going to be a $50 buy-in. We didn't want to do a free league because, frankly, I think people care more when they're skinning the game. And you know what? Another thing I think we're going to do for this league is, you know what we're going to do? We are going to get either we're going to either get a championship belt, a ring, or a trophy through Fantasy Champs. Yep, Fantasy Champs. Yeah, yep, yep. And matter of fact, I'll actually our code. We have a promo code to save 10% on their site. What's that promo code?
It's Dynasty Trades HQ. We've got a special link just for us and everything. But if our listeners want to save 10% on their own belts and trophies and, you know, rings for their league championships, all they need to do is plug in Dynasty Trades HQ.
So that's what we're going to do for our discount code, because every commissioner should buy some type of title, something acknowledging the champ, to let the everyone know the champ is here. So we're going to be jumping on the Fantasy Champs once we get the league up and running. And, you know, we'll pick something out, something really classy, I think, like a title belt. Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, I think this league deserves a title belt. 16 teams, 13 listeners. I think we can do that. We can make that happen. Shane, let's just tweet that out and let everybody know about it after the show goes live. And we'll include this on you know, the show summary so people can find the Fantasy Champs affiliate information, our listener league information, and, you know, details on getting to our Patreon account. Anything else that they want to know about, you can always email us directly at dynastytradeshqpod@gmail.com. And you guys know you can find us on Twitter.
All right. I think that's the show for tonight. Want to go ahead and just real quick, I wanted to give a shout out to Sal Lito and the Falafel Guys for their Podathon. We jumped on that for a little bit. We got ambushed by the Dynasty Dummies, but that's the good kind of ambush because I love those dudes. The guys raised a lot of money for Fantasy Cares. Obviously, we donated a t-shirt. Yes. Obviously, this is all in support of Scott Fish and the Scott Fish Fantasy Cares, which is really what the Scott Fish Bowl is all about. So shout out to Sal and the Falafel Guys and obviously to Scott Fish for doing great, great work. And if you're not sure or if you haven't donated yet, I should say, again, and go on to fantasycares.net and you can go ahead and donate. And that's all I got for this evening. And just want to wish everyone well. And we will talk to you soon. Right, JB?
That's right, Shane. If you celebrate Christmas in July, Merry Christmas, everybody. If not, good luck with tapering off the last of your Dynasty League drafts, because that's something Shane and I were talking about earlier today. I only have 3 drafts left after the Scott Fish Bowl. 2 Dynasty League drafts on MFL, and then 1 Home League draft. And you know, and then I'm done. And that's nothing in August. And then the season starts, what, in early September. So that's going to be a lull, right? That's a long time between, you know, that's like, what, 5
weeks? Yeah, this is the hard part of the year. This is where
preseason football, right?
I'd venture to say that a lot of startups are joined right about now when people are kind of pulling their hair out, waiting for the NFL to start. You got 2 months and you'd like to spend that time doing something. So this is the time that's hard for me. I get the DMs and I say I can't because I'm in too many leagues. And most of the time I hold firm and sometimes I don't.
Yeah, for sure. It is a tough time of the year. Say bye, Shane.
Bye, Shane.
Well, anyways, guys, we will see you next week.
Don't we have music or something?